This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North with your hosts, David Haw and Dan Weider.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome to the Take the North podcast. I am David Haw from 670 Sports, Mully and Haw Show. Dan Weider is from the Chicago Tribune covering the Bears, and he is in Detroit trying to talk his way onto this podcast. As you can see, he is in the Motor City. There's some kind of sports car in the background. I don't know what kind of car that is, Dan, but I certainly hope that it isn't start. It doesn't start and somehow rev by you because it looks dangerously close.
That's my rental from the National Emerald Club. I was able to get that. They allow me to park it here in the lobby at the Renaissance Center.
When you the Tribune has really increased its budget since I left.
Listen, when you are the beat writer of a team that has the number one pick in the draft, they roll out all the stops for you. And that sports car has been handling nicely for the last couple of days, as has all of the people in Detroit that are welcoming this draft into this city here. Apologies for the chaos, but we have got a lot to talk about.
We do. It is a day away from this year's NFL draft, Christmas Eve for Bears fans, if you will, 24 hours or so, give or take, away from drafting Caleb Williams and changing the direction of your franchise. A lot going on this Wednesday. Back in Chicago at Soldier Field, Kevin Warren, George McCaskey, and Mayor Brandon Johnson had a 90-minute press conference unveiling the renderings that in a plan, a $4.6 billion plan, half of which would be publicly funded it by their design or their request, and the other $2.3 billion part of an NFL loan package, $300 million and $2 billion from the McCaskies. Dan, already met with disapproval from the governor of the state of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, swiftly said he did not see a way that that made sense to him. So I don't think that was probably what the Bears had anticipated, though I'm not sure anybody should be surprised.
No, I mean, there's going to be push and pull and a tug of war all along the way. And if the Bears were surprised by resistance, then they certainly haven't had their plans together as well as they said they had. You know, the presentation was elaborate. There's no question about that. It was detailed. We got what you and I asked for yesterday, which was beautiful drawings and a nice video to say, okay, at a minimum, the visual is worth looking into more. And so now we'll figure out what the political logistics and all the dynamics below the surface are to try to even get this thing in the process of being worked out. But as we've said from the start, this is a long, long, long project. And this is like mile 1.2 of the marathon right now.
It is. And we're going to get into the Caleb Williams interview that I think will be the bulk of this podcast, because he did speak at length today in Detroit and you were there. But just a quick moment on the presentation, because we're going to give them exactly what I think they wanted by holding a press conference on Wednesday before the draft, is that we're going to give them scant attention, but we are going to give them some attention. We're not going to give it the weight it probably deserves or needs, but I do think we have to at least give our opinion. My opinion is this: it's a hard no. I don't think that you can look at in this climate in Chicago or the state of Illinois and ask for a project X or 2.3 $3 billion in public funding at a time when the priorities dictate that the monies be spent elsewhere. I think it's money better spent in other directions, and it takes some gall, frankly, for a billionaire owner of a $6 billion operation to ask the public for $2.3 billion in this day and age. No matter how cool and slick and state-of-the-art and impressive the renderings are or the presentation was, this is what's changed about the Bears. The Bears are much slicker at public relations. They are much smoother at delivering the message. It's still the Bears, though, and I still can't find myself believing that in this day and age they're going to actually get this, go through with asking for that much money in public assistance. That doesn't say it's not going to happen, but if you have the loud resistance of the governor of the state of Illinois, I think it's going to be an uphill battle.
Well, to me, it's more about where that assistance would come from. And they tried to lay that out today, noting that $900 million of it would come from the ISFA, which their research and reporting told them was set up for this direct purpose of helping to build and renovate stadiums. And so they're trying to tap in to some extent for $900 million from funding that already exists. And they're trying to get their hands in that pot. Now, all the infrastructure things that will be needed from a city and state level, that's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different ballpark that they've got to play in and figure out a way to make that make sense to the people that it needs to make sense to. But I'll push back on you a little bit in saying, like, like I had this conversation with a colleague recently where I struggle, and I'm not saying you fall into this category, but people that have followed this team forever who have said our quarterback play stinks and our team president isn't good enough. And then they go and get what appear to be obvious upgrades at both of those positions. And people are kind of turned off by personality quirks when you're like, well, wait a minute. Haven't we been talking about for years that this is a bottom line results business? And if these two guys in these two roles can get much better results than we've experienced for 25 years, then you'll live with some of the personality quirks. I'm not saying that's what you're saying here, but I just felt like that presentation today was something that we would have never had.
Oh, I agree with that.
Leadership of Ted Phillips. And so it feels like they're trying to play in a different realm here. And I think we have asked them to play in a different realm.
But there's one thing about asking them to play in a different realm and being impressed by the presentation, which I was. And I think that Kevin Warren clearly is a skilled communicator. The fact that they have lobbyists already employed to be at Springfield to sell this message to people who matter illustrates just how prepared they are for this moment and how good of a job he has done in the year that he's been the team president. This resistance has very little to do with the style with which it was presented. The substance, though, I do think merits a closer examination. And I have a bigger problem with that than I do anything else, is that, yeah, the ISFA funds, that is, you can rationalize, you can justify, you can present that in a way that makes it seem like, oh, okay, not so bad. But there's still, that's $900 million. And there's still the other part of it that comes from $1.4 billion in infrastructure improvements that come from the city or the state or public funds. And yeah, and while I hope it doesn't come across as a criticism to how slick it was, it just was clearly a departure from the way the Bears usually operate, and probably definitely an improvement. But my resistance has nothing to do with style and everything to do with substance.
Well, listen, like, there's going to be issues wherever they choose to build the stadium. If they chose to pivot back to Arlington Heights, you're going to need some level of help from certain realms to help you get done what you need to get done. There's going to be infrastructure improvements needed in Arlington Heights. All of those things are part of taking on a stadium project like this. And so, look, like, again, it's a tug of war, and I don't think the Bears ever presumed that this was going to be their final presentation on the matter. But they think that this was the time to capitalize, to try to get some momentum while this spring legislative session is going on in Springfield, and see if they can gather any sort of interest and curiosity to push this thing forward. If they do, man, like, it'd be really nice to know where this team will be playing the season opener in 2028 or 2029 or whenever that first shovel goes in the ground, wherever it may be.
Yeah, I'll make a better point and better argument at another time. I'm kind of distracted by the whole thing. I mean, come on, it's a draft. It's draft week.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
And let's talk about football, because that is exactly what you're there in Detroit to do. And give us a little bit, before we get to the Caleb Williams audio, set up the scene and what he said. Generally speaking, we'll listen to it, but where he was and what went down.
Yeah, I thought it would be fun on Christmas Eve, as you deemed it, to hear from the gift that is going to be waiting under the tree for the Bears tomorrow. And there was a Play 60 event at the Corner Ballpark, which is on the grounds of the old Tiger Stadium here in downtown Detroit. And 13 NFL prospects that are here in town for the draft were participating in a clinic with Special Olympians for an hour. And then they met with the media for half an hour after that just to talk. And so, to set the scene for you, Caleb Williams had one rule for the kids that he was working with when he was on the field: if you score, you dance. And so that was a nice little touch early on to get the kids involved in some of the things they were doing, seemed to be really engaged in that part of the clinic. And then as soon as it ended, we've got all five TV stations from Chicago here in town in Detroit, David. So all five sets of TV cameras and reporters rushed at Caleb Williams. Myself and Patrick Finley from the print medium rushed at Caleb Williams. We were part of a horde that swarmed Caleb Williams as soon as this thing ended. He kind of laughed at how quick and purposeful that horde surrounded him. And then the conversation started from there. And I'll let us hear the first part of it. We can react from there. And then we'll get into the second part of it and react from there.
So here's the first part, about a 14-minute block.
The Bears, it was reported that the Bears had you and your receivers
to dinner,
meeting, right? To dinner. But then dinner. Recently it was reported that when they set up a dinner, it was with the players instead of the management. Can you talk about that and the impressions that gave you?
Yeah, it was great. It was really just to get around the players. Obviously, they're going to give the real take of me and how, you know, get an idea of how I'm going to be every day. And so that's what that was about. And just getting around the guys, see if I fit in, and if, you know, that's the place that, you know, I can lead those guys.
What's your impression of Ryan Poles and Matty Eberflus, just for your time spent with them?
Yeah, they've been great. It's been fun to be around them. They're very detailed. They always have a plan, and they seem like they're routine like. And so it's kind of how I've been throughout my whole life. And so, you know, it may not fit well with them, but for me, it's been great.
What number are you gonna wear?
With
the Chicago Bears.
Oh, who knows? I don't know yet. Haven't had those discussions. We'll see tomorrow if, with the 2024 NFL draft, first pick goes.
You've been talking about being the number one pick for a very long time.
Yes.
What are your emotions now, like 24 hours out from this moment?
Very normal, very calm. I prepare myself mentally for it. And I've also prepared myself to put myself in this position physically around my teammates for the past 12 years now. So, ready for the moment, ready to go, ready to lock and load.
Caleb, reports that you had a throwing session with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Roman Dunze was there as well. How did that come together? Who organized
it? Who knows if it happened or not.
Caleb, when you were out with Bears players on your visit, what did you want them to learn about you?
I'm just one of them, nothing more and nothing less. I'm the same person every day, and what they saw at the dinner is the person that I am 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, and maybe just hopefully a couple more accolades on that list. But other than that, just being the same guy, getting around them, learning them, them learning me, and just enjoying each other's company.
What kind of impression did they leave on you, the guys you were with?
Yeah, I enjoyed all of them.
It was defensive guys and offensive guys in there, so it was a good mix to be able to, you know, go back to the guys. You know, if that was the place to go, the place that I was going to go is, you know, good for them to go back to the guys and kind of, you know, speak on how I am instead of all the stuff that everybody sees every day on me.
How excited to get this over with, just the draft?
I'm ready. I'm really ready because I want to get back to the football team.
Back it up.
I haven't been on a football team since November 18th, and so it's, you know, that's probably the toughest part to me, and something I really want to get back to, get in the locker room, be around the guys, be in ball every single day, and, you know, letting it rip. So I'm really excited for that.
You have a message at all for the fans of Chicago?
Chicago, if you know, that's the place for me tomorrow. I can't wait. All I heard is great things about you all, and I'm ready to go.
Still wearing that navy suit? Planning on wearing that navy suit?
I'm wearing a navy suit, light navy blue, with some silver accents. So it's gonna look nice.
Caleb, how about the blue today, as opposed to the gray?
It actually has a little bit more fur on the inside. You know, you prepare for the moment. You know, it's a little chilly outside.
Out or anything.
No. My pants didn't fit me, and this had a little more fur on the inside. So I wanted to wear this because. They said we had to wear the white tee under with the NFL Play Now and things like that. So I wore that, and they gave us this top too, so it was in our bag.
You were on the plane with Rome?
Yeah.
Hoping that's some foreshadowing of some kind?
I don't know. He was in California with me, and we just so happened to be on the same plane.
Yeah. Caleb, there's a lot of quarterbacks at the top of this draft, right? That's
yep.
often what defines the draft. Do you guys have any talks about how to make this a special draft? Like, this class be a very special class when you look back on this draft 10 years from now?
No, I can only handle what I can handle, which is myself and controlling those things of my play, how much I'm in the film room, how much I'm learning the offense and the playbook and things like that. That's the only way that and how much you want to win, how much you want to be around, you know, winning teams and cultures and things like that. So no, I can't talk about in other people's, you know, positions in 10 years from now.
What do you think about the rest of the quarterback class?
And maybe it's a good class.
The ability to be special, I guess, this whole group.
Yeah, you know, it's a great class. It's one of the best class, I would say, that has come out. High talented class, high class. You know, I'm excited for everybody else's future.
Caleb, there's so much attention on you right now. What's it like to be able to take a second and give back to Special Olympics athletes?
It was great. I had a blast. I don't know if y'all were watching, but I had a blast. I was out there running routes, throwing it, defending, just all around athlete around these kids, you know, having fun. No, but it was great to be around them. It seemed like they had a great time. When they came over to the area that we were at, and it was really enjoyable for me.
It looked like you asked them to dance.
You have to dance if you score. I mean, football's about having fun, you know?
And then you were joining in.
I was joining in. Gotta lead by example, you know? maybe they felt a little nervous or shy, so just let it rip and get out there.
How do you feel about your dance moves?
Beyonce or anything, but I'm all right. I'm not bad, you know. I get out there. My hips don't lie, but, you know.
Caleb, with all the attention you attract and you have attracted for a long time, how do you depressurize your existence through all this?
Just be the same person every day. I mean, I do things like paint my nails and things like that, so I feel comfy in my own skin. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, I feel comfy in my own skin, who I am, how hard I work, what I do in my daily life, how I act, how I treat people with respect and things like that. So I don't really have many, unless I'm going on vacation, which is once a year probably. I don't have kind of moments where I depressurize because it's the same person every day. I don't have to deal with, you know, those type of things. And I also have people around me that have instilled things in me, like my parents, but also people around me on my team outside of football that I'm around every day. They see me every day. They know who I am. And you know, those people are the most important thing, people and things around me.
I'm sorry. You know, as you've gotten to know Rome,
yeah.
What would it be like if you guys wound up on the same team?
Well, before I got to know him, he was, I don't know if I can curse him, he was kicking our ass on October, I think it was, when we played him. And it was not enjoyable then. But to be around him and hang
hang out with them here, combines and all the other stuff that we've done, being around each other. It's been really fun to be able to work with him. Possibly, you know, if that happened, would be an honor for me and a pleasure. Another type of athlete and player he is, and also, you know, being around him, you know, since combine, really, the type of person he is. So it'll be awesome.
You brought it up for tomorrow. You got a color scheme for the nails.
Yeah, I got one pinky, one silver pinky.
That's what you're rocking tomorrow.
To match my lady's dress, but also match the silver accents in my suit.
Hey, Mr. Caleb, given that Jared Goff against Cal, and you are obviously USC.
Yeah.
What do you think about the rematches from a Cal guy?
Well, I've never played him, but so it'll be a start of something if I was to go to the Bears, but. Great quarterback. As y'all have seen, they went to the championship. Not Super Bowl, but the NFC, whatever it is, championship. You know, he was out there balling, doing his thing, balled the whole season. So if that was the case, I'd be excited to go against him and ready.
Hey, Caleb, the time you spent in Chicago, what's been your sense of the anticipation that you would end up there, just being around the city and the different places that you encountered as you were there?
Yeah, when I went there, I wasn't really interested in the city, per se. I wanted to get around the coaches, the players, because at the end of the day, I'll be spending 12 hours a day in there, and in the city probably once a month, and for game weeks, obviously, four times out the month. And so, you know, I was heavily into, you know, actually being with the city, with the guys and coaches, but anticipation part. You know, if that was a place and things like that, I'd be excited. Everybody over there seemed, you know, pretty excited when I was there, and you know, that just, you know, brings some light to me.
Because they were serenading you at the baseball game, you know.
Yeah, I did see that. That was pretty cool. The Caleb chants at the, I don't know if it was White Sox or Cubs, but it was pretty cool to have that moment.
You know, you're from the East Coast.
Yep.
The whole idea of playing in Chicago and the elements there. How does that strike you?
I played in Ohio when it was snowing. I played in rain, sleet. I played in below freezing. I played in super high temperatures. I feel as if I hit all the temperatures. I
think, so you're looking forward to the new Dome Stadium, huh?
If that was the place, I would be excited. If that was the team that would draft me, I'd be excited. I mean, it wouldn't be for a couple years, obviously. It takes a while to build things like that. But, I would be excited and elated to be in that stadium.
Caleb, how far back can you remember, you know, dreaming of being the top pick? How surreal is it to
12 years
on that moment?
12 years is when I set the dream and goal. And it hasn't necessarily hit me yet because I haven't been 2024, you know, first pick in the draft. But you'll probably have to catch me after to see how I'm feeling. But to be here, let alone, you know, be able to walk the stage, it's pretty surreal for me.
Hey, Caleb,
and I'm excited.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All good.
When you think about what the Bears have done to prepare for you or who, but in terms of getting Keenan Allen, Swift, how does that strike you in terms of the moves they've made, the support?
Yeah, the support is huge, exciting. Because if that was the place to draft me, you got Keenan Allen, baller, 13-year, I believe that. You got DJ Moore, speed demon, strong guy, good guy, family guy, ready to go. You got Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. Swift is real shifty, and so, you know, it'd be an exciting offense, I would say. You know, I'd be honored and ready to go.
King Fertile.
Yes, it does.
You guys make a connection there?
Yeah, we've known each other before that. Probably about a year before that, we've known each other. And so he hit me up and said he was going to come out and support me.
Can you give us a preview of what you're wearing and how much time you spent thinking about it?
I just finished my suit alterations and everything. So I spent probably, I did a couple fittings, I did a couple drawings and things like that. I'd say from last week to, I don't know, probably 2 months ago, 2 months of preparation for the suit.
And who did it?
Gonna have to wait on that one.
Spike shoes, like
no, I'm not doing spike shoes. I'm doing I'm doing black boots.
Excuse me. Yep. Who's your inspiration? Who is your inspiration?
Who is my inspiration?
Good question. Yeah.
That's a great question. Sorry. I'd say my dad for just life. And then I'd say Aaron Rodgers for QB. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady for QB inspiration.
Okay. My last question for you guys.
Yeah.
But
they all right. They'll wait for you.
What would you tell your 13-year-old self? What inspiration would you give him?
Keep going.
Okay.
Keep going. You're going to do it.
Okay. Thank you for allowing me to ask you this question.
Thank you. Yo, what's up? How are you?
Nice to meet you. So, tomorrow, obviously, a moment that kids dream of their entire life.
Yep.
When you were a kid, did you think you were going to get to this stage? And also, what's going to be going through your head when your name is picked and you're announced?
Yeah. So, as a kid, I did dream of this. I set my goals. I went after it. I got it. I'm here. I'm ready for the moment. I've been prepared mentally for it. And obviously, physically, I put myself in a position to do it. And then, you know, leading up to these moments, and you know, getting to the moment of tomorrow at, what, 5, I think it is here, or 8 here, I think it's 5 West Coast, 8 here, you know, it's, in the moment, I'll probably be thinking about all the memories, you know, all the moments I've had leading up to this, all the football moments, all the moments that were tough for me. That helped me get here. And one thing I did was I kept going and kept striving for what I wanted.
Caleb Williams, earlier on Wednesday at the Play 60 event in Detroit. What'd you think, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little more that we'll listen to in a few minutes. Obviously, you've been around these settings before. It is a little bit like a Super Bowl media day. You've got some serious questions. You've got some light questions. You've got some kids chiming in and asking some good questions there toward the end. What struck me being in person is how engaged Caleb was with every single person that asked him a question, how willing he was to kind of go down whatever path he was being asked to go down. There is, both by action and by words, self-assurance about him that we've talked about that seems sincere to me. It doesn't seem manufactured. I think that's important. Obviously, the most important part of playing this role in this city is going to be making plays regularly on game week. But there is a comfort there that I think is very palpable and easy to pick up on. And we'll see where he takes it. Now, look, it's really easy to have that comfort a day before the draft, more so than when you lose by 25 points to the Packers, which many a Bears quarterback has done over the years. We'll see how he retains that. But those were some of my initial impressions.
I thought it was he was likable. I felt like there was an easy confidence that everyone has talked about. He did come across as being confident without necessarily being cocky. There was an air of humility there when he talked about being honored to play for whoever. He also had the presence of mind to, he's done his homework on the Bears. He knows the weaponry well. He's probably even started thinking about the terminology. He has thrown, from what I understand, with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Roma Dunze. That would be a nice threesome to get
good
used
trio,
to throwing
yeah.
to, a good trio. I also think that he just seemed like, you know, it's a small thing, but the way he interacted with kids, you can tell a lot about somebody the way they handle questions and situations like that. But he was very comfortable. And again, that relatability will go a long way as he kind of ingratiates himself in the locker room and in the fan base. And the last thing that stood out was like something he will learn. When they chant your name like that, it couldn't possibly be at a Sox game. It had to be a Cub game because the Sox don't have that many fans to have a chorus.
I think we've got more that will tell you that Caleb Williams has a lot more to learn about Chicago as Chicago learns more about him. That's coming in the second segment. That's certainly one thing to highlight there. The other thing that I would note just there is his expressed readiness to just be past this part of the process, right? Mm-hmm. And to be able to get to a practice soon and be with his teammates again, because I really do think he is a guy who thrives off being part of a team, being the leader of that team. And it's really uncomfortable, I think, for the last 4.5 months to not have had that in his life. And so that next bridge will carry him there. And soon enough, he'll be there at a practice at House Hall and ready to take charge.
So let's listen to the last 10-minute block of Caleb Williams at the Play 60 event today in Detroit.
Nail salon and
you know, it's peaceful. It's something that not many people are doing also, but something I go to Nestlon and I just sit down, I throw on my beats, I turn on a movie, I sit down and I'm chilling and not bothered by anything other than what I want to be bothered by. And then, you know, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I know what I am and who I like and what I like. And how I go about that, and when I look into the mirror, I know who I am, and so that's the simplest answer I can give you for that, and that's kind of how I go about it.
Your mom does nails, right?
My mom does nails. She doesn't do my nails. She doesn't have time for me, I guess. You know?
Is Barbie one of your favorite movies?
Barbie? No. One of my favorite movies is Spartan, the Spartans, though, 300. What'd you say?
Like, is I'm just Ken, right? Are you just Caleb?
I'm just Caleb.
What do you like on your hot dogs?
My who?
What do you like on your hot dogs?
Have you ever had Ben's Chili Bowl?
Ben's? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there. Yeah. Fire. I say Ben's Chili Bowl.
Like Chicago dog guy?
I don't know what Chicago dog is. I only know the pizza. I don't know.
Deep dish.
I love deep dish pizza though.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever tried Malort?
It's terrible. You don't want to try it.
What is that?
It's disgusting.
What is it?
It's a Chicago like alcoholic beverage.
No.
It tastes terrible.
No, I rarely ever indulge in any beverages like that.
Someone might buy you a shot of Malort. Just be prepared.
Somebody tagged me about that. I did see that. No, I probably won't be trying it, though.
Man, how do you feel about the wind?
All good. Cut through it.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Shane Waldron?
What'd you say?
When did you first meet Shane Waldron? Did you know him previously to this free?
Yeah, I've met Shane. Jeez, you got me going back into history books.
From QB Collective?
Yeah, QB Collective, probably, I don't even know how many years ago that was. Probably eight years ago, 9 years ago, probably, something like that, whenever seventh grade was for me.
What's your sense of who he is and what his offense can do to accentuate what you do?
Yeah, I mean, you can see it with Geno Smith. You know, he got a large contract deal after balling out and doing his thing. And they only give those to people that, you know, are out there balling and doing their job on the football field. And so, shout out to Geno, but also, you know, Shane was there and was helping him and the whole offense and things like that. So, you know, you can be really good as long as you put in the work. And that's what it's going to take.
What are your thoughts on joining the NFC North? Obviously, a lot of excitement on the city. Lions good for the first time in a while. And here you come in their city, you know, going to the Chicago Bears. What are your thoughts on some of the rivalries and, you know, that NFC North? How excited are you to play some of these guys?
Yeah, if I was to go to the Bears and they were to select me, I would be able to go against one of my old teammates, Jordan, and kick his tail. I would love to have bragging rights over that. And then I get to go to play against Amon-Ra, which is one of my good friends also, and kick his tail. I just kicked his tail in bowling the other day. He hasn't talked to me since. But yeah, it'd just be fun to play anywhere, but you know, to be able to play versus some of those guys and, you know, be able to talk trash to them in whatever case may be, it'd be really fun for me.
What's the best rivalry you've been? I mean, you got the Mathis Gonzaga, you got Oklahoma rivalry, you got some of the Pac-12 rivalry. What's the best rivalry game you feel like to this point that you've experienced?
Texas-Oklahoma. That was pretty sick. I'd say that one. That's probably one for me, number one. Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Caleb, it's like you got into this.
What about Notre Dame?
Notre Dame? At their place, they were pretty. They were rocking at their place. At our place, we were pretty packed out. It was a good game for both. I didn't play as well in the second one, as we know. Almost came back and won, but yeah, we that was a good game. Good team, good rivalry. But Oklahoma, Texas still tops out.
Say you are pick number one. Who do you want to see the Bears take with their second top 10 pick?
If I was able to choose, and if I was pick number one of the Bears, I'd probably go Olufoshanu because I know he put his life on the line for me, protecting me. And then, I'd probably go one of the top three wide receivers. Whoever's there at nine, you know,
you got into Cal and Coach Wilcox.
What'd you say?
Thoughts about playing Cal and Coach Wilcox.
Yeah, they did a great job versus us.
It was fun. A bit more fun than I thought it was going to be going up there. Because I heard about all the you know, crowds not being there and things like that. Right. They did a pretty good job when we went up there. Y'all came out for me.
Caleb, who's the most famous contact in your phone?
Denzel Washington.
Oh, really? Is that who would you want playing you in a movie? Probably a little too old for you.
I don't know. He might do a good job.
Is there a story there?
Yeah. So there is a story. So Denzel, we went and had dinner one night and at State 48. And I was actually not let in for a second. I just cut off my hair. I had a sweatsuit on. And so they halt me at the door. Denzel Washington comes up to the door, and he's also in a sweatsuit, and he pulls out movie Denzel, and so he goes off, and he's like, as y'all know probably, he goes off on the guy, and then we go sit back down. He goes back to regular Denzel. He's giving me wisdom and things like that, but it was one of the funniest times in my life because
you feel like Hoyt in training.
I felt like exactly.
All right, so that was Caleb Williams. So Dan, you're there. Denzel Washington? I mean,
it's just a subtle reminder of what realm we're about to go into, right? This guy who has been in LA, obviously been around that a little bit more than maybe we're used to. And I don't have Denzel Washington in my phone. I don't think you have him in your phone. And so we're like this one, when I compare Caleb Williams to LeBron James, like this is part of it. He's been famous for a long time. He's been living in a place where he's been exposed to people that he probably otherwise wouldn't have been. And this is part of the existence that Chicago's about to be part of.
Well, what's also impressive about that is that he drops that story, drops that name, and still comes across as, I think, highly relatable, even likable. And, you know, you can envision people listening to him for the first time, or maybe they've heard him before because of that fame, and not being turned off by the fact that it was almost like, oh, by the way, it was like, oh, by the way. Oh yeah. I remember him. I have him in my phone and then the story that follows. So overall there was like an easy interaction that you don't always get with athletes. You know, there's definitely a comfortability with the attention paid him. And so that's something to look forward to. I don't think you were here yet, but like when Jay Cutler came to town, you know, we all have stories about our first interaction with the Jay Cutler rebuff. You know, everyone's got one of those stories. With Mitch, it was maybe a little bit, you liked him. He was humble, but he seemed very much like a guy that wasn't used to the spotlight. I think Justin Fields had his moments, but he certainly was maybe, he stayed within himself more so. Certainly publicly, there was an uneasiness that was obvious. Caleb Williams is a star. He's a celebrity, and he's used to the fame, and he's used to that, and he seems to enjoy it.
And I think that's part of what the Bears have been attracted to, is that he's lived in the spotlight, and so the spotlight won't be new to him, and he has had to develop a comfort of having his every move watched, of having his every action judged. I've got a different impression of Caleb Williams than I had in January when we started down this process. I've said this a couple times this week that you know, and again today, that you listen to him on the Pivot podcast, you stand around him for those 28 minutes this morning, and you're left with the idea that there's depth to this dude that is really easy to gravitate toward as opposed to gravitate away from. If you're trying to get to know a person from social media rumor or aggregated things of things they may have said or did, you get a very unclear picture of who the person is. When you get around a person for real, you can make those judgments. And my judgment leaving that Play 60 event today in downtown Detroit, David, was that it's not going to take Chicago very long to fall for this kid, right? Like there's going to be a segment of the population that's always resistant and they don't like their quarterbacks painting their nails and they just don't like some of the vibe he gives off. But I think the mass majority of Chicago Bears fans are going to watch him make a couple plays in week one of 2024 and listen to him to do a handful of interviews between now and then and go, yeah, let's do this. I'm all in. Let's see how far we can ride this.
Yeah, he could own the town from a sports perspective. And I think you can see why he's going to be extremely comfortable if he has the success many expect. and he's going to be able to handle it without much bother, frankly. The best thing I guess you can say about him, or maybe this is the best way to wrap this up today, to connect our first thoughts with our last ones, he's so comfortable being famous that you could envision him starring in a Bears video about the next stadium. He's so comfortable in his own, with his own personality and that fame, that you could see him being like the guy that Kevin Warren points to and says, okay, Kalem, you have a speaking part now. And he would definitely pull it off. Very good stuff. Very interesting stuff. What else? Anything before we wrap it up?
I was just going to say, remember, we started this offseason with pictures of Justin Fields on a flyer for the Bears London trip. And we're ending it talking about there being a huge, you know, digital billboard of Caleb Williams out front when the Bears open their new stadium by the end of the decade. And even Caleb, when he was asked the question about the Dome Stadium in that segment, just said, look, like, it takes a while for those things to get off the ground, just as it takes a little while for a quarterback to get off the ground. But everyone is envisioning the biggest of big right now. And there's legitimate reasons to envision the biggest of the big. And you got a little tasting of it there.
And there are enough politicians in the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago who were just enough meatball Bears fans that you can't contest. You're going to be able to find one or two or maybe a handful that are going to feel that surge of enthusiasm when evaluating whether or not this is a good idea or not to allow the Bears to get away with that's editorial comment, to allow the Bears to finance their stadium project with $2.3 billion in public money.
The very last thing I'll say, because you were very worried about this last week, Caleb did tell us it was going to be a light navy suit with silver accents. He will not be wearing a ladies' dress on the red carpet. I know you were worried about the punctuation in his tweet. So there will be no ladies' dress. His lady will be wearing a dress, but Caleb will not be wearing a ladies' dress as he walks into the draft.
Sounds very classy, stylish, and I think he'll be able to pull it off. And I'll probably find out later that Denzel Washington picked it out for him. Wouldn't be surprised. All right, so that's a lot today. Good to hear from Caleb Williams. Good job, Dan, on the scene. And I hope that everyone appreciates and how hard you worked to get that audio to us on time in a timely manner. So we'll be back tomorrow. This is Christmas Eve. Sleep well, Bears fans. It'll be anxious because when you wake up in the morning, you're going to be able to say, today is the day football life changes forever. And it will be draft day. Caleb Williams, no matter what, to quote, that I think maybe I'll watch tonight just for fun. Who knows? For Adam Sadinski, for Dan Weider, I'm David Haw. Thank you for listening to the Take the Move podcast.
A new era begins. Great talk. See you out there.